Hey, it's Brian Cook, your host here. Wanted to let you know we now have t-shirts. Would you like to support the podcast? Have you noticed that I can't get a sponsor because this show's too filthy? Hey, it'd be great if some people ordered shirts. They're great looking shirts. Go to estoymerchandise.com, E-S-T-O-Y merchandise.com. You'll find competitive erotic fanfiction on the right-hand side. Click on that and you can order shirts. There's men's and women's sizes. It's a great design by my buddy Mark Palm in Seattle. He does all of our amazing poster art. Please support the podcast. It would help us out a ton. That's estoymerchandise.com. E-S-T-O-Y merchandise.com.
Now entering nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 132 of the Competitive Erotic Fanfiction Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Cook, and you've found the internet's number one most trusted source for Muppet boners and horny loners. Upcoming shows include July 19th at the Virgil in Los Angeles, and today's show is from the Virgil back on June 21st, 2015, when we celebrated the third anniversary with a championship edition. This is round two, featuring Baron Vaughn, Eliza Skinner, Andy Wood, and Matt McCarthy, reading pieces they wrote based upon audience suggestions. First, you'll hear them draw topics, then we'll fast forward into the future to hear the finished pieces. Enjoy. She'll be circulating for the next 5 or 6 minutes. While myself and the competitive erotic fanfiction players perform for you the following, the competitive erotic fanfiction players, ladies and gentlemen, Baron Vaughn and Josh Androsky. Give them a big round of applause. You can do better than that for Baron and Josh, goddammit. June 18th, 2015, Highland Park, California. A neighborhood not usually the focus of nationwide media attention. A simple one-story house was buzzing with activity. Any minute now, the chopper would touch down in the humble Mexican-American community and forever change the landscape of comedy.
Hey, what the fuckers? What the fuck, Nicks? What the fuck, buddies? Mark Maron here. Welcome to a very special edition of WTF, and what the fuck? We have the President of the United States. But first, you know, I've been thinking a lot about commitment.
Every listener fast-forwarded 20 minutes. And not just for the usual reasons. The anticipation this time was too much. I mean, a sitting U.S. president on a podcast? This was crazy. Unless you've paid attention to the last 2 times that Obamacare's open enrollment was going on and Barack performed on Between Two Ferns, that BuzzFeed video, and probably something mild to moderately embarrassing to our country on Jimmy Fallon. But no one could have predicted this 5 years ago when the word podcast was far from a household name and Mark Maron was just another borderline suicidal Hollywood Jew. But there he was, flanked by Secret Service members, Barack Obama, in Maron's sweltering, undoubtedly cat-piss-scented garage, where so many great men and 3 or 4 women had sat before.
So, who are your guys?
My guys?
You know, like, who'd you look up to when you were coming up?
Well, I suppose. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., President John F. Kennedy.
Like Carlin?
Pardon me?
Yeah, me too.
It wasn't going well. This was a head of state, after all, not another veteran Midwestern basement joke jockey with whom Maron could coast by due to the common language of road comedy. I mean, what did President Barack Obama know about condos and check drops? Also, he kept referring to Joe Biden as Barack's feature, which confused the president. Things were tense. Mark was starting to consider breaking out the guitar. That's when Obama launched into his Affordable Care Act spiel.
You know, Mark, it's an important time in America for our young people to take part in the open enrollment period. Health coverage is no longer a privilege, but a right in America, which is a historic victory for the American people.
Mark had zoned out. It was exactly the kind of talking point-laden nonsense he was hoping to avoid. I mean, this was WTF with Mark Maron, man. Not some bullshit lefty propaganda machine. That's what Air America was for.
Mark had to steer the conversation towards something juicy and fast. Something interesting. After all, this was the show where Todd Glass came out. Where Louis C.K. cried. Where Haley Joel Osment did whatever the fuck Haley Joel Osment did. I don't know. No one listened to that episode.
So, level with me, man. You're coming to the end of your run, and, you know, a lot of people thought having a mixed-race president might finally bring some degree of racial equality and harmony to America. How do you feel about your legacy?
Well, that's a loaded question. Thank you, Convest. I think the best you can hope for as a president is to make incremental changes for the advancement of the American people and leave the country a little bit better than you found it.
Okay, but like, be honest, man. Where do you feel like you failed? There has to be something that sticks out.
You know, Mark, failure is a strong word. And there are a couple of areas that come to mind which I feel like I could have done better. Namely, race relations and gay marriage. Which is actually the main reason I wanted to come here today.
How do you mean?
Well, I could think of no better symbolic gesture than for my Secret Service agents to lay down their arms. And for me, America's first black president, to allow a prominent male Jewish public figure, such as yourself, to make love to me.
What the fuck?
What's going to happen now is my men are going to stand up. I'm going to strip naked. And you and I are going to show the world what true... what true racial harmony and tolerance are all about. Mark stared aghast. He couldn't believe what he was hearing. He looked to his producer, Brendan, but he had just held up a cue card with $10 signs written on it. What could he do? This was history in the making. And not just because Marc Maron was about to have an age-appropriate sex partner for the first time. Mark watched incredulously as Barack stripped naked.
Do you like what you see?
Does this turn you on? Are you a nasty little podcaster?
I mean... yeah, I guess.
It was more awkward than that time Mark described his masturbation habits on the podcast and specified what a game changer it had been when he moved on from lube to using spit. That even grossed me out, and I host this podcast. Let's do some role play. You be Putin. I'll be the Crimean Peninsula. And you just come and take me without permission. Yes, this was President Barack Obama's idea of dirty talk. It went on. Come on, Mark. He bent over and spread his ass. I call my anus Guantanamo because it will always be open.
Mr. President, please.
But this was showbiz. Kind of. Mark had to seize this opportunity. He tried to get hard by envisioning servers crashing at iTunes on Monday as everyone tried to download the podcast all at once. He thought about updating his own Wikipedia page on Monday. He thought about how jealous Pete Holmes and Chris Hardwick would be on Monday. And that totally did the job. Mark was rock hard. He dropped his pants. He lunged at Barack and made sweet, passionate love to him while the tape ran.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well.
Yes. I've never been happy.
All right.
Okay.
Well.
Lock the gates!
And with that, Mark came. Then there was an excruciatingly long pause while the two men got dressed, tried to avoid eye contact, sat back down in front of the mics. Finally, Mark broke the silence.
So, we good?
It was the last time in history a U.S. president would go on a podcast. Although 2 weeks later, Vice President Joe Biden totally agreed to be on competitive erotic fanfiction. The end. Thank you, the erotic fanfiction players, Josh Androsky, Baron Vaughn. I will never be on WTF, not a celebrity president. All right, please keep it going for your round two comics. We'll be writing based upon your suggestions. Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Wood, Baron Von Matt McCarthy, and Eliza Skinner. Wherever you want. Yeah, there's pads up there. Hey, everybody. One more time for all these comics. Let's start with Eliza. Step up with Mike, Eliza. Here is how this part works. First of all, if you weren't aware, everybody on the show tonight is a former champion.
What? Former champ.
And here's how this part works. If she likes the first suggestion, she can take it and run with it. If she doesn't like it, I will draw a second one, and then you all vote with your applause on which one she has to write. This, okay, you're taking it, I'm sure. Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yeah. All right,
Eliza Spinner. It's my show, I do what I want. Malcolm Reynolds from Firefly.
Let me see what else there is then there.
All right.
Firefly was a show that was written by Joss Whedon. It got canceled and they made a movie called Serenity. Just in case anybody was wondering what the hell Firefly was.
That's all I know. I didn't see it.
Your second option is Homestar Runner. I think we know where this is going. Who wants to hear some fucking nerd from Firefly? Not even the person that suggested it. Homestar Runner. Baron Vaughn and the Internet. Keep it going for Andy Wood, ladies and gentlemen. I almost gave you that one because you're from Portland. I'll tell you why later, but we're going to keep it a secret. Your first option is The Fox and the Hound.
Disney's The Fox and the Hound.
That would be Disney's Fox and the Hound.
I'm
going to
see what's next.
All right.
It's still possible.
Your second option is Flo from the Progressive ads. Who wants to hear The Fox and the Hound? Flow from Progressive.
Of course you do.
Andy Wood, ladies and gentlemen. Finally, Mr. Matt McCarthy.
Wait, since no one's doing it, can I just say for posterity, I'm a horn dog.
Okay. Blue's Clues is your first option.
I'm curious what else is in
there. All right. Your second option is... Did you do this last time? Did you get Garbage Pail Kids last time?
No, I got Ramona.
Somebody got Garbage Pail Kids last time.
I did.
Who was that?
TJ.
Oh, hi, TJ. TJ Chambers. He's chilling. Listen to the last one. We're going to do a different one. It's very funny. Gone with the Wind is your second option. So, who wants to hear Blue's Clues? What's your Gone with the Wind? Blue's Clues it is. Matt McCarthy, let him hear it. What do we got? Oh, Mr. Baron Vaughn, ladies and gentlemen, sneaking up like a goddamn ninja.
Thanks, buddy.
Yep, being black and wearing black makes me extra dangerous. That's why I walk down lit streets. All right.
Today, we are going to find out why we call him Strongbag, said Homestar Runner,
bopping his little weird white body around his bedroom in flash. There was a knock at the door.
He's here! Yay!
And then he vomited a VCR player.
This is obsolete! And then he threw it out the window.
Hey, Homestar. How much mail do I need to answer today? Said Strongbad as he entered into Homestar's room. Why did you clear everything out except for this sweet race car bend?
And then Strongbad's eyes twirled like a stalled Apple cursor.
It's time to answer a question you have avoided over and over. Why do they call you Strongbad?
Strongbad's eyes stopped twirling as his Lucha Libre style face contorted to a look of fear.
I haven't been avoiding that question.
You have, said Homestar. We have 1,956,733 letters about it, and none have been returned. Time to show the world. Oh no! Exclaimed Strong Bad. Homestar pulled down Strong Bad's pants to reveal an overlarge, veiny, fluorescent pink cock, also with a Lucha Libre style face. It smiled. I'm free to breathe.
Whoa, I wasn't expecting that.
I am the real Strong Bad. His name is Jeff, said the cock.
Shut up! That is not my real name!
Yes, it is! You're boring and named Jeff!
Why, I
And then Strong Bad grabbed his arrogant dick and began choking it.
I am not Jeff! Say it!
No! You're totally Jeff!
The penis got bigger and bigger, and Strong Bad and his Strong Bad wrestled around the room. Homestar ducked and maneuvered. Maneuvered around the fight, littering the tussle with whoa and get it and that's bupkis. Strong Bad fell into the race car bed on his back, his cock towering over him like a rare single-headed hydra. He worked his hands up and down his unruly member until it said,
don't do this, Jeff. You'll destroy us both.
It's the only way to make you shut up, replied Strong Bad. I think he's going to come, Internet, interjected Homestar.
Baron Vaughn desperately trying to distinguish that voice from Bullwinkle.
The fluorescent pink cock turned fluorescent red and then let out a
holy crap
as it spewed forth a black substance upwards, spreading over the bed. It spread out above the bed. And love lift us up where we belong. Played out of nowhere. Homestar looked into the hovering black cum cloud, and he saw space, stars, planets, endless, infinite cold. Wow! Suddenly, Strong Bad floated toward the hole. It was sucking him in. Where eagles fly on the mountain high. The penis yelled,
he opened at a jack hole!
Strong Bad, his mouthy dick, and the race car bed sucked up into the hole that closed at the exact moment Strong Bad screamed, I am not Jeff, Jeff, Jeff! And they were gone. Silence. Silence. Pause. More silence. After a long sigh, Homestar added, thank God, I hated that bed. Bye, Internet.
Baron Vaughn, your first round one competitor. The strong opening volley. Thanks, buddy. Who else have we got round two? Is that Matt? Ladies and gentlemen, keep it going all the way to the mic for the one and only Mr. Matt McCarthy. We open on a stack of pornographic magazines. Quickly, we zoom in on the filthiest one of the bunch. A children's book, stained in blue semen. The title reads, Blues Come! Inside the sticky pages is a house, but it's no ordinary house. This is a house of ill repute. Its chief pervert and deed holder stands at the front door. His name is Steve. His shirt is collared and his eyes are wide. Hi, I'm Steve. And this is my dog, Blue. I'm really glad you came over. I love coming. And today is a really special day in our house. That's right, because today is the day Blue loses her virginity. That's right, Blue. Steve removed his golf shirt and khakis to reveal classic 1990s tighty whities. The kind he wore as a child. A naughty, naughty child. Okay, kids. First, I'm going to give myself an erection by spitting on my hand and jacking off, but not jacking off so much that I come, because I don't want to come yet. That's for inside Blue's butthole. And how, Blue? the sounds of simple keyboard music begin to play in a sexy 4/4 time. First you take your hand, then you get some spit, and then you spit right on it. Rub it back. Rub it forth. Give it time. Then you're erect. It's still your cock, but something's changed. The blood has helped your cock rearrange. Soft to hard, it won't take long. Take a look at your big, stiff schlong. It's erect. Okay, you kids ready to watch me fuck this sweet little dog and, it's, and claim its innocence? Yay! Ready for my hard cock? Ready for my hard cock, Blue? Hey, did you see which way Blue went? That way! Oh, that way? Thanks. Steve walked, pants around his ankles, into the kitchen, waddling like a horny penguin. I don't see Blue anywhere. Maybe he left a clue. Do you see a clue? A clue! Steve looked around the room like a putz. Still maintaining his erection with quick, meaningful strokes. Finally, his eyes saw a clue left behind. It was a paw print on the cabinet underneath the sink. Steve thrust open the cupboard to find Blue. Blue, what's wrong, buddy? It's okay, Blue. Everyone loses their virginity. At least, you know, people that aren't losers. Do you kids know what losers are? They suck! That's right. Nobody likes losers. Cool kids know that they're cool kids because they fuck each other. Yeah, I'm pretty cool. Don't you think I'm cool? You're cool! So don't worry, I'm cool. Tell you what, Blue, we'll start off slow. How about you lick my balls? Yeah, lick my fucking balls. First, with slow, long strokes. Yeah, just like that. Faster! Oh, should Blue lick my balls faster? Faster! And look like he's enjoying it! Okay, Blue, just pretend my balls are a new kind of ice cream. In fact, there's cream inside my balls. Delicious cream. The most delicious cream you've ever tasted. Well, if you want to get it, you need to lick my cock. That's right. Small little licks. Like it's an ice cream cone. And the hot caramel is about to spray everywhere. Hot, sticky, sweet, salty ice cream caramel goodness. Good boy. Don't come yet! Should I come in Blue's mouth? You said you were gonna come in his butthole! Hey, they're right. You haven't even lost your virginity yet. Fuck his Blue dog butthole! Yeah, I need to fuck you in your butthole. Steve hoisted Blue's tail high in the air and spat into the puckering Blue shit chute. What's happening now is insertion. When something is inserted, it goes from being outside of something to being inside of something. Hold still. Yeah, it hurts at first. But wait until it's all in. Yeah. Oh, damn. That's right. I'm balls deep. Give Blue a reach around. Oh, good idea. Blue, I'll reach around and jack off your big Blue dog dick. That's awesome, right? I don't know. There's lots of more fun things we could do. What do you think we should do? Ass to ass! You heard that, Blue. Ass to ass. Steve dismounted his furry friend and pulled a giant double-ended dildo out of his back pocket. What I'll do now is jam on the end of this monster into my own ass, and then the other end into your ass. And make it sexy! Oh, we'll make it very sexy. Steve and Blue went at it, crazy hot and sticky-like. Steve glanced at the camera. Don't look at us in the eye! Sorry. Now say my name! You. You're special and unique and cool and sexy and dirty. Shut your whore mouth, Steve! Sorry. You don't know what sorry is! Oh, God, I think I'm gonna come. We didn't give you permission to come yet, Steve! Steve shot his wad despite his breach of etiquette, shamed and quickly getting soft. Blue began lapping up the jizz off the kitchen floor. Congratulations, Blue. You lost your virginity. Don't worry. Give me like 40, 45 minutes and we'll be able to do it again. And then we'll try something else fun. 69! We'll see.
Matt McCarthy.
Thanks, buddy.
Who else is ready? I need Andy or Eliza. Eliza Skinner.
Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. My daughter loves you. I love you. Thanks. You guys are so sweet. Thanks. Donny Osmond sneered, closing his dressing room door. Gaggle of middle-aged mothers. Cunts. He mumbled behind the closed door. He peeled off the Technicolor dream coat and sat at his dressing table, slumped into the seat. He pulled off his shirt, soaked with sweat, and took out a razor blade from the kit inside his makeup box. A grown man with a makeup box. What a joke. He thought as he sunk the blade into his armpit, next to the other perfect little slices. Eight shows a week, but this was the only way Donnie felt anything. As the blood dripped down his chest and onto the floor, Donnie laughed until he began choking. He wiped the blood off with his thumb and sucked it off, staring at his reflection in the mirror. His reflection just stared at him, sadly. As Donnie sucked on his thumb, he watched his reflection put that same hand up to the mirror. Donnie, it said, have you forgotten how to dream? What the fuck? Said Donnie. Joseph? Yes, Donnie. You used to dream. You used to shine so bright. What happened? I don't know, stammered Donnie, shocked. Bummer, said the reflection. Show me your dick. What? Come on, take your dick out. I want to see if they match. No way. What the fuck is going on? Come on, I'll do it, the reflection said, pulling his half-hard cock out of his sweaty dance belt and stroking it. Donnie was stunned. Was he losing his mind? Even if he was, maybe this was like those dreams where he fucked Marie and it didn't matter? What show did you come to, monsters? Donnie pulled out his cock and started stroking it. Oh, yeah, said Joseph, the reflection. Stretch the ball skin out. What? Why? I like taut balls, and yours really need to be taught a lesson. Stretch it out. Yeah, stretch it out, said the rum-tum tugger, stepping behind Joseph. A part Donnie had played in Summerstock 84. Donnie whipped around, but he was still alone in his dressing room. When he turned back to the mirror, both Joseph and the rum-tum tugger were stroking their thick, swollen, juicy cocks. Rum-tum tugger licked at Joseph's bleeding, slashed armpit, moaning. Honestly, Donnie got a little soft at this point, because what the fuck? What's wrong? Are you scared, Donnie? Said the Phantom of the Opera. Donnie's role from A Dinner Theater in 92. The Phantom locked eyes with Donnie as he pulled his pants down entirely, his boner bouncing out of his tuxedo pants. All three reflections of Donny Osmond started licking at each other's dicks delicately, like flicking their tongues out for a taste and giggling. Donny was only getting softer. Just then, Rusty the Steam Train and Che Guevara stepped out, each holding each other's dick with a pinky in the pee hole. What's wrong with Donny? They shouted. Stop, cried a voice. Leave him be. They all turned and saw Jesus. Well, Donnie as Jesus, standing behind them. He's a man. He's just a man. And he's about to lose his boner forever because of you weirdos. You can't pressure him. He doesn't need that. What he needs is a song. It seems to me a strange thing. Dick destroying. When you hate your choices, the thing you've done, it's really just no fun. Yes, I can understand it's sometimes lonely, but the parts you've played, the man you've been, each one of them can come. Slowly, gently, grasp the foreskin lightly, stroke it. Stoke it like a boy does nightly. Donnie's boner started to stir. Could it be coming back? Starlight Express, come on my chest, on my hair, just not my eyes. Starlight Express, answer me, yes. Anywhere it can be a surprise. Oh, what a penis. Come on and blow. We're all here to take your load. Over our faces and bodies, we want you to moan. Andrew Lloyd Webber fans are fucking losing their shit at this point. And the rest of you, just enjoy it. Donnie was harder than he had ever been, and he wasn't even laying a finger on his throbbing cock. What was happening to his body? The Rum Tum Tum Tugger lacks a plug in his butt. That's more about him, but I wanted to share it. So he poo-poos, for he do screws, and there's no doing anything about it. All the reflections stared at Donnie, their boners dripping in anticipation, as Joseph stepped to the fore. Go, 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 Donnie, then know what they say. Go, 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 Donnie, you'll make it one day. Go, 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 Donnie, you're doing fine. Come on, Donnie, and blow our... He jizzed literally all over the place. Not a corner of the room wasn't covered in jizz. The end.
Eliza Skinner. Where is Andy Wood? There he is. Your final competitor, Mr. Andy Wood. Let him hear it.
All right. Thank you guys for the suggestion. Flo.
Glad to help, Flo cried, waving wildly as a 16-year-old sped off into infinite whiteness and new Prius with a sensible package of 2015-10 liability, personal injury protection, and comprehensive coverage. Flo's infectious grin spread from ear to ear. For 7 years, she'd kept up the facade that made America fall in love with her and trust a corporate juggernaut that's broken profit records by doing whatever it takes to avoid paying up on claims filed by people at their most vulnerable. As that thought crossed her mind, Flo's insane clown posse grayed red lipstick shined even brighter. And she tossed her head back with a cackle that loosened the blue headband that kept her fucking ridiculous retro coif in check. She lived for this shit. She knew that Middle America ate up her pseudo-earnest Rosie the Riveter nonsense. Oh, she just wants to save us money, and she's always so excited. Some Nebraska bank teller would bubble whenever the progressive ad would come on the air. While her sad husband would grumble some half-hearted agreement while making a deposit into his progressively overflowing spank bank. Flo sat down on the floor of the infinite whiteness, waiting for another dumpy white dude in a polo shirt and pleated khakis to wander in with questions about renter's insurance, or an ethically ambiguous lady to stroll up with questions about coverage for a new small business. Sometimes she'd sit there hours, sometimes days. In this whitewashed purgatory, time ceased to have any meaning, and with every passing moment, Floyd's hatred of consumers escalated, but so did her horniness. It had been 7 years in this Guantanamo Blanco, and Flo had no idea if or when it would ever end. As the enthusiasm she'd been riding from starting that new teen driver down a path toward lifelong servitude to giant corporations faded, Flo decided to go for a walk. She tried to find a way out of her prison many times, but no matter how long she walked, she'd always end up back in the goddamn insurance store, which isn't even a fucking thing. She didn't think this time would be any different, but she decided to give it a shot. After wandering for the better part of an hour, Flo noticed something new. Anything besides the infinite whiteness was new, obviously, and she saw a tiny triangle of off-whiteness. It was as if a flap had come loose. Dare she see what lay behind this wall? She licked those harlot red lips and grabbed at the patch of whiteness, and as she pulled it back with a deafening rip, she found herself in an entirely new world. It was just as white as the world that had been her personal prison for the better part of a decade, but there were people. "I'm a PC," said the dopey-looking gentleman, wearing an ill-fitting suit and a Bill Gates haircut, who was staring her down. "I'm listening," said Flo, as her hand slid her blindingly white apron up to slowly reveal her own personal liability. Her jet-black pubes were manicured into a perfect rendering of a percentage sign, and the sight of a man who wasn't just trying to compare homeowners' rates was enough to turn on the crotch waterworks. The PC guy looked taken aback. "Is that Windows compatible?" he asked, adjusting his glasses clumsily. Flo winked at him and flashed that $3 million smile. Footnote, celebrity net worth estimates actress and former Groundlings member Stephanie Courtney's net worth to be $3 million. As she furiously worked over her lady pussy with her perfectly manicured fingers, "Give me some deep discounts," she screamed at the PC, pouncing on him. He ducked out of the way just in time, with a blue screen of death-level look of disgust on his face. "I'm not that kind of spokesperson," he muttered dejectedly. "What are you pussies talking about?" It was Mac. He sidled up to Flo, already stroking his modestly sized, overpriced cock. He had the confidence of a guy who represented a brand that had been tricking teachers, hipsters, and DJs into buying needlessly expensive, underperforming hardware for over 3 decades because it was cute. Flo was in love. She bent over and slapped her alabaster spokes ass. "Fuck me like we fuck consumers!" Gladly. As he pounded away at the cheery sellout, she screamed, "Who's your Mac Daddy?" I guess he would have screamed it. Whatever. It's a crisscross joke, 90s reference. The yell was apparently a bit too loud, and suddenly the trio looked up to see that they were not alone. Yes, they were in an infinite whiteness, but they were surrounded by hundreds of people who suddenly came into focus. To the right, Morpheus looked up from teaching Neo some bastardized kung fu to see their progressive mad fuckfest, and student and master both dropped their nunchucks or whatever and started making out furiously. "I'm so glad you took the red pill, Neo," Morpheus said. "Why?" "Because it was a popper." And he lifted up Johnny Utah's trench coat to shove one end of his nunchucks right up his ass. In all directions, it was a lily-white fuckfest. Some dude shopping for rows upon rows of cars suddenly started to fuck every tailpipe in sight. Danger Mouse started fucking his sidekick. And whatever other pieces of pop culture take place on completely white sound stages were also fucking. As Flo's progressive orgasms built, she screamed out in ecstasy, right as Mac pulled out and covered everything in sight in even more whiteness. The smug laptop shiller's spunk drenched everything in the pristine limbo in so much milkiness that even Morpheus looked like Edgar Winter. Nothing could be made out in the sea of vast ivory goop apart from Flo's god-awful crimson lips, which screamed out in joy, "Now that's what I call coverage!"
Andy Wood, Andy, stay right here. All right, let's get everybody from round 2 back to the stage. Once again, you'll be voting. Let's hear it for all of your round 2 competitors. Once again, I'm going to remind you of what everybody read, and then we will vote, so no voting yet. We started with Baron Vaughn with Homestar Runner, then Matt McCarthy with Blue's Clues, Eliza Skinner with Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and finally, Andy Wood with Flo, the progressive lady. I'm so glad this is the night that I paid a photographer to be here. I've never been happier about a decision in my life. Let's hear it for...
starting with Baron Von Homestar Runner. Matt McCarthy, Blue's Clues. Eliza Skinner, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And Andy Wood, Flo the Progressive Lady. Your round one champion, Mr. Matt McCarthy. Round two champion, Mr. Matt McCarthy. Your round two grand champion, Mr. Matt McCarthy. Let him hear it.
That does it for round two. To hear round one from this show, you can go back and download episode 131. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes. It's a big help, as are positive comments. For more details on upcoming shows, you can follow me on Twitter at Brian Cooking or the show at CE Fanfic. See you next time.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.